So here we are, on the third Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of joy. So I'm not quite sure what this Luke passage is doing in there. It certainly has good news in it, in the sense of the gospel, but it's not particularly filled with joy. Broods of vipers and that kind of thing, and stop being corrupt and stealing. Not so much what we usually think of when we think of joy. And so what I'm going to be looking at primarily is our reading out of Philippians, where Paul writes to the church at Philippi and tells them to be joyful, to rejoice. And as I was mentioning to the children in their time, joy is one of those tricky kinds of things, because it's another word that is being slowly but surely eroded in the language, which is what language does. It's not a good or a bad thing, it's just a thing. Some of it frustrates me more than others. But joy and happiness are frequently considered synonymous, and really they're not. Happiness depends entirely on external events. You are happy because something has happened which makes you happy. If there is no happy-making event, you are not. Hopefully you're not unhappy. It's not an either-or. We seem to spend a great deal of our life being just sort of somewhere in the middle, and that's perfectly fine. But happiness needs something to trigger it. Say, Graceland giving you a Christmas decoration. That worked very well for me this morning. Happiness can come from things that are trivial. Some sports team that you're slightly interested in wins a game and that makes you happy. Or they can be deeply profound. You can be happy at the birth, the safe delivery of a child, or all kinds of other things, and everything in between. But joy is different. And I'm not going to go so far as to say that joy is better, but without it, happiness will never be enough. Joy is something that is fundamentally brought into our lives through our relationship with God through Jesus. Joy is something that God provides. And it is not dependent on external circumstances whatsoever. Joy is what allows us to continue on in a different way than we might otherwise. If it's going to be similar to something, it's almost more similar to confidence than to happiness. Paul tells us that we are to rejoice in the Lord always, or be joyful in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. And this joy comes from within. It's possible to be joyful in the midst of unhappiness, because joy comes from that deep, unshakable belief that God is good, and that God will bring good out of things that we can't even imagine. This becomes problematic, of course, because while we want the good, we frequently don't want what causes it. And often, we find it impossible to see how God could bring any good out of a tragic situation. And our minds probably go instantly to what just happened in Connecticut. I can't imagine how God is going to bring good out of that. But I don't have to. I'm not God. I know He will. The problem is, and if I'm allowed to blame God for anything, even briefly as a homiletical device, the problem is that He gave us free will. Because we know that God could accomplish the good that comes without the bad. But because God has chosen to trust us with decision-making, He's given us volition, He's even allowed us to trust, or to choose not to trust Him. But what He said is that the consequences of our choices will be turned into something good by Him. We don't always know what it will be. Sometimes it doesn't happen till long after we're gone. But what we know is that God will bring good. This is not some kind of Pollyanna optimism that says that everything is good, because everything is not good. What happened in Connecticut is not good. Disease accident. These things are not good. But God, who has allowed us to fall, who has allowed us as human beings to build this world that doesn't work the way he intended it to, because he trusted us that much, God will bring good out of these things in spite of them. Not because of them. And it's important for us to make sure that we understand that distinction. Because if we don't understand the distinction of in spite of and because of, we'll start thinking that God is the one who creates things that aren't good, and he doesn't. God does not do that. God allows our choices to do that. And then he comes afterwards and picks up the pieces. Some of these things will never make sense to us. And if we didn't have that wellspring of joy, that deep sense that God is in control, that God will bring good out of what we can't even imagine happening, let alone good coming from it. Without that, there'd almost be no point in going on. We would live for happiness. We would live for the distraction of external events that make us happy. And when we didn't have enough, we would create them. And we frequently see this, people doing this now. People who don't have joy and don't have enough happiness have a tendency to try and create it somewhere, somehow, and frequently turn to, well, poorly chosen replacements, addictions of all sorts, behaviors that are ultimately destructive. Joy is what allows us to resist those things. God uses joy, that almost indefinable sense that there's more than what we see, as a signpost. C.S. Lewis talks about it in his spiritual autobiography, Surprised by Joy, that these moments of almost a longing for what was more were directing him towards God. But the joy that he understood as receiving when he moved into that relationship with God, while perhaps not having the same character, was always there. We can live lives characterized by joy, which doesn't mean we always have a smile on our face necessarily. Joyful people are able to grieve with those who are grieving, but they rejoice with people who are rejoicing better than anybody else. Joy doesn't make us impervious to the slings and arrows of life. We feel them just like everyone else does. But it's what keeps us going. Joy needs to be the bedrock of how we interact with the world. Because if we don't have joy, we're going to end up doing everything on the basis of what we see, of our external reactions to things. Well, not everybody has a perfect life. And by not everybody, I mean nobody has a perfect life. By the standards of most of the world, my life has been one of comfort and wealth, really. And yet, I have struggled, as we all have, with all kinds of things. People who are in the midst of depression can still be joyful. I know that sounds absurd, but as someone who has suffered with depression off and on throughout my life, I can tell you it's true. And how we end up with the conundrum, almost the paradox of the Christian life, where we can be joyful while depressed, in a clinical sense, or we can be joyful while mourning, is something that we can only experience for ourselves. It almost makes no sense to try and describe it to someone else. But that is how it works. It's not easy. Generally speaking, if you read anything in Paul's writings, it won't be easy. He wasn't interested in easy. He was interested in what actually is. And for us, joy is very much a decision. Not a decision that we will have it, because we do already. Joy comes from God. And when We move into that relationship with Him through Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes within us as the Holy Spirit does for all of us. Joy comes with it. Our decision is to pay attention to what is within us, not to create it within us, because we can't. We look for the joy that's in us, and we look for it sometimes in that sense of confidence. We look at joy not so much as an emotion, although we can be joyful, and that is another, and as an emotion, but we look at it not so much as that emotion, but as that fundamental reality that God is with us, that God will make this make sense at some point. We can be joyful even when we're frustrated with God, because I am frustrated with God. I hope that doesn't come as a shock to you. I hope if you've never done it yourself, this will come as a release for you, that you're allowed to be frustrated with God. You can't stay there. And sooner or later you have to admit that He is God. But God would rather you admitted that you were frustrated with Him than you pretended you weren't. I'm frustrated that we have children being shot for no better reason than someone who's in such a horrible state of mind that that made sense to him. I grieve for everyone involved there, including the shooter. His family, as well as the family of those children. It broke my heart when I heard that, as I'm sure it did for you. But I can be joyful in that, not rejoicing in what happened, but realizing that this is not a sign that God has turned His back on the world, because He hasn't and He never will. The joy comes from knowing that somehow God will bring good out of that. And I would rather have that joy than momentary happiness that comes from pretending everything's fine when it's not. The challenge of the Christian life, to borrow from Mark Buchanan, is to remember that on your best day, there's always something missing. And on your worst day, there's always more than you see. For Christian people, for those of us who know God, who have read His Word, who have been with His people, we know that there's something fundamentally wrong with the world. And for all of us, even in the midst of the joy we have, even in the midst of happiness on our happiest day, we still have this sense that it's still not 100% right. But on our worst day, we also know that it's not 100% wrong. Joy is what allows us to function, to live in this tension between knowing that we have a fallen world in which we live that has challenges everywhere, but we serve a God who loves us enough to bring good out of it. And sometimes we take that solely on faith. There are things that have happened in my life, and I'm sure in yours, that I haven't seen the good that has caused or that has come from that. Perhaps it hasn't arrived yet. Perhaps it was a catalyst for something else. I don't know. What I do know is that it didn't happen without God's knowledge, and that He didn't ignore it. Paul tells us that all things work together for good. Not all things are good. All things work together for good. Good will happen. Good will happen as much as the sun will rise tomorrow. We know it will happen. We don't always know when, where, but we do know. Joy is what allows us to live that way. Joy is one of the things that allows us to speak comfort into the lives of those who need it the most. And sometimes that's even ourselves. For Scripture tells us that we can take this joy to others. I think one of the most comforting verses that Paul wrote is the last verse in our Philippians reading today. And the peace of God, another way to think of that, is the joy within us, which transcends all understanding, more than we know, more than we ever will know, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I honestly don't know how people with no joy keep going. I don't. What I do know is that for me, and for dozens and dozens of people I know, hundreds and thousands of people I've read about, their relationship with God is what keeps them going. Is that when they seem to bottom out in the things of life or the experiences of life, that it's what God has put there that keeps them going. That's what has kept me going at times. We've all suffered loss, and we've moved through it. Change, but not destroyed. Joy does that for us. As I've said, I think, in every Sunday in Advent, I'm grateful that we have these named Sundays so we can spend some time thinking about peace, we can think about love, we can think about joy, and we can review it in our minds and remember that this is something we have. The joy is as real as any physical object. It's been put within us, and we have it all the time. I admit I would like to be happy all day. I think all of us would like to be happy more frequently. But I wouldn't trade joy for happiness. The deeper, richer experience of joy that says that we serve a good God, that good things come out of even the unimaginable, I'd never want to trade that for anything. Fortunately, we don't have to. It's not an either-or. But for this day, particularly the Sunday of joy, I hope that you'll think somewhat on that, and that you will make that decision to look for the joy within you, that you'll become dependent on that rather than on the happiness that comes from whatever externally makes you happy, and that we will continue to be joyful people who rejoice in the Lord and have that fundamental difference within us that says that you can't take joy away from us. Whatever happens, we will continue to believe the best about God, continue to believe the best about people, and continue to move forward in joy. Amen.